A two-part documentary series beginning tonight on RTE and the RTE Player charts the evolution of the Irish missionary movement. Today, the Irish missionary chapter is drawing to a close. The remaining Irish missionaries are nearly all elderly and are either retired or determined to die in harness. Father Shay Cullen set up the Preda Foundation to rescue children from exploitation in the Philippines 50 years ago. He's a four-time Nobel Peace Prize nominee and he joins us in studio with the co-presenter of the series and former RTE journalist Brian Dobson, who we're delighted to welcome back to Morning Ireland. But first, let's have a listen to a clip from the documentary about Father Shay's efforts to get a US naval base in the Philippines shut down over abuse.
Once he realised that the main source of the abuse and sex trade was the local US naval base, Father Shay campaigned successfully for 20 years to have it shut down.
We were able to free the women and the victims of debt bondage, you know. Mm-hmm. No woman could leave the city. She had to be a sex worker all her life, mm-hmm, because they controlled it by debts, yeah, giving her money in advance.
Father Shay, to you first. We heard some of the really important work that you were doing there, as highlighted in the documentary. But as a Columban missionary, you were assigned to Olongapo in the Philippines in 1969. You're not done yet. Let me hear a bit more about the focus of your work these days.
Yeah, well, we are continuing with the Preda Foundation, which is, we have three homes at the moment. One is for the girls who are from, sad to say, 6 years old up to 17, victims of human trafficking, which still goes on. Online sexual abuse, which is a shocking crime because it's very hard to detect online. And most of the customers are coming from Europe, here in Ireland, and the United States and so on. So well, we have a healing program there to strengthen, and we bring court cases against all the abusers. The most are the, shall I say, abusers, biological fathers, living partners, even grandfathers abusing these kids. So we're quite successful in healing the kids through our emotional release therapy, which is a very healing process. And the kids become very self-confident, very outspoken. They want to get justice. So they testify in the court. And we win last year 27 convictions. Now we're up to this year, this July. We just reached last week another one, 12. Already. So that's going on. We have another program in for boys who are already, the ones in Cebu, we have 40 kids in rescued from prison, horrible jail conditions for youth. So we have this home open center. You know, they've all got court cases because they're the older kids, 15 above. But we had this law passed, Juvenile Justice Welfare Act, spent 10 years campaigning for that. And that means that these kids would not go inside a regular prison, but supposed to be in a home. But sad to say, the youth is really a jail now. So we get them out of the youth jail and we take them in a open center, and they don't escape. They all go to school. So, you know, it's an ongoing project.
Great examples of the ongoing work there. And we heard earlier about your campaign to see the closure of the US naval base. But you still have concerns about US naval bases.
Well, right now, we spent 8 years. I discovered a child sex syndicate in Olongapo City, US Navy guys actually abusing small children. And we discovered it because the kids were found to have a venereal disease. And I do reporting. So I exposed this in a newspaper at that time because we didn't have facilities and the city covered it all up. So I broke the news. It became international story. And that began an awareness, you know. And 8 years later, we had the campaign to convert the military. I came this idea by chance, you know. In journalists, it was in like this, no, on radio, no, little press conference, because the city were going to have me deported, you know. They charged me lots of crimes, so I've been deported. So the guy asked me, he said, Father Shay, they're going to close your children's home. And I said, well, isn't it better they close the military base and convert it to economic zone? So the guy says, oh, is that their new campaign? I said, yeah, you can write that. Next day, headlines, you know. So that started the campaign. 8 years later, the Philippine Senate closed them out. It's a big success. And all those women, 1,000 women in the sex industry, every sex bars and hotels, they were in debt bondage. They could never leave. So they were all freed. So, you know, it was like set them free.
And in terms of the work that you continue to do and that foundation, we know that a lot of the aid budgets for organisations working with the most vulnerable communities have been slashed by Western countries, the US, but also the UK and Germany and Canada. Has the PRIDA Foundation been affected by some of these cuts?
Yeah, sad to say, we did have something with USAID coming up for the next 2 years. We do partial funding, you know. We have a partner, but I have a business. I had to go. At the early years, nobody would support any of these children. They all, you know, they deny sex abuse of children. It's so horrible. They can't face it. No one wanted to fund it. So I had to fund it myself. But I was working with many farmers and the poor indigenous peoples in the mountains. And I discovered that actually it was a poor woman who was trying to sell a sack of mangoes at the market. And I asked her, what's all of this? So she said, no, she can't get anything. Nobody will buy them. So I ended up organizing the purchase of all these wild mangoes. I had them processed into dried mangoes and into mango puri. And now we have a big business and we can support the children's home and the farmers with fair trade. And they're organic.
So finding a way.
All sort of things can work out for the good.
Brian, this has been your first significant project since hanging up your microphone here in RT News and Current Affairs. What drew you to telling stories of Irish missionaries like those of Father Shay Cullen?
Well, when I was approached by Scratch Films, which are the production company behind the two programmes, I was fascinated by the project because, like everybody in this country, I've grown up being aware of this Irish missionary story. I mean, very many families right across Ireland have a missionary, an aunt or an uncle in the religious life abroad. Every community, certainly, in the country knows of some of the members of that community who joined missionary orders and spend their lives in Africa or the Far East, wherever it might be. So I was fascinated to find out, well, what is the story here? And in the programme, we describe the Irish missionaries as the best of us. And I think listening to Shay, you see exactly why that is the case. He really exemplifies this part of this extraordinary Irish missionary story. At its height, the numbers were enormous, something like 6,000 or 7,000 are the estimates of the numbers of serving missionaries overseas. Hundreds of young men and women every year through the 50s and the 60s going into missionary orders and then being dispatched to whether the Philippines or East Africa or wherever it might be, South America. So I was fascinated to find out what motivated them, what drove them. The sense of vocation they had, that's clearly the case. I mean, Shay spoke to us about how he I think you went with a friend to Dalgan Park to see what was going on, and he ends up joining the Columbans and having this extraordinary life and making this extraordinary impact.
Now, the last Irish missionaries has been described as neither an elegy nor an assault on the Irish missionary movement. So it charts the influence, as you say, of the Irish missionaries, but it also questions if the movement was our form of colonialism and addresses clerical sexual abuse and cover-ups. Is this a warts and all of the Irish missionary movement?
Well, you know, I think, Liam McGrath, who's the producer of the series, says that he believes that, you know, when the history comes to be written, the Irish missionaries will come out on the right side of history. And I think that's pretty clear to me as well from my experience making this documentary with Dervla MacDonald. We do look at the sex abuse aspect of this, but the issue here is that in places like the Philippines, and Shay explains this to us, and in across Africa and even in parts of South America, there hasn't been a coming to account. There haven't been the investigations we've seen, for example, in this country. There's been a lot of denial. And I mean, Shay puts it very clearly. He says the church has been sinful in relation to this, but it's very difficult at this stage to get a clear picture of the extent of the abuse. So we certainly touch on it. It's not ignored as part of the story. But I think it is a celebration of this remarkable period in Irish church life and in Irish life. It was relatively short. The missionary project really got going after independence, and it was linked. You mentioned our colonialism. It was linked, I think, to that sense of nationhood. good. And very many of those are early missionary, the leaders of those early missionary orders that were set up, I'd say, in the early years of the 20th century. They saw it as a way of projecting Ireland on the global stage, of Ireland making an impact for good right around the world. And I think it's also interesting to see the arc of how the enterprise developed, if you like. At the beginning, the focus was very much on conversions, on baptisms, on reporting the numbers of, you know, new Catholics that have been recruited, if you like. And then, of course, very quickly, the missionaries in the field begin to see the humanitarian needs of the people they're working with, whether in education, whether protecting them from abuse, whether in healthcare, whether in developing agriculture. And that then becomes very much part of the project as well. And then at a later stage, and again, Shay exemplifies this, they begin to question, well, why are these communities suffering in the way they are? What's wrong with the system? So the emphasis then develops in relation to social justice, in using the law, as Shay has, to try to improve the people's lives. So I think we chart that. And obviously the numbers are very much reduced now. There's, you know, maybe 400 or so still in the field. But they are still there and they're still making an impact. And those who are in the field have no intention of retiring anytime soon.
Well, we can hear the passion there from both you, Brian, and Father Shay. Just to remind listeners that the last Irish missionaries, that two-part documentary series, airs tonight and next Monday at 9:35 on RT1 and on the RT Player. Thank you so much.